got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Wednesday, January 19th, 2022, and again, still sort of on the wings of Martin Luther King Day, just trying to, you know, make sense of the madness that we've descended into around us and what to do about it. So, you still there, Glenn?
Yes, sir.
Right
about
on.
The Martin Luther King thing. You know, yeah. I finally figured out a few years ago that it seems that many of the people who are lionized by our societies are not always as wonderful as we're led to believe. And also that very often the people who are demonized by our cultures are not quite as evil as they're made out to be. Although the evil do tend to be evil more than the good tend to be good.
It seems that in the final analysis, people are just people and fallible. We're all fallible. And those who are lionized, it seems like to me anyway, usually there's a closet of skeletons that's reserved somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
People get suborned.
A walk-in closet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, just in case.
Well, he said this, and he said that, and he said, you got to be kidding me. And it's like, that's why God is the judge. You know, we've all broken the least of the commandments. We've broken the whole law. You know, there's unrighteous, not one. And that's
all
why,
have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yep. Yeah,
oh, definitely. But, I can commend something to listeners that can change our world using our prayer life. Mm-hmm. I've been convalescing at home for some time now for some surgery I had on both lower legs for venous stasis ulcers, which are healing very slowly, and I was an idiot. I let them get out of hand, hoping that they had been healing somewhat, but then they went the other way, and so ended up necessitating surgery. And which has left me with these wounds with chronic pain. I have nearly daily, any minute now, the nurse comes to do a professional dressing change on these. And thank God they are healing, without signs of infection. I'm hopefully in a few weeks here, they'll be in the phase where they're not hurting as much, but still healing. It's going to be quite a while. But always, nothing changes your worldview and your prayer life like persistent chronic pain.
A thorn in the flesh, perhaps.
Why is that the first time I've thought of that?
Therefore, I shall boast in my weakness, right?
And he pray, and his grace is sufficient, and all those goodies. Yeah, but I can't believe I didn't think of the thorn in the flesh. Nice one. But yes, I have had other incidents in recent years where I've been briefly in the hospital with something acute that then is quickly rectified and I'm back on my feet and back in my role. But this put me on the sidelines and I'm like, and it's very uncomfortable. And then there was all the stuff that goes with it, insurance and, money and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not used to being, having to, be dependent on programs or anything, or insurance or anything like that. I'm used to being, the overtime wage earner and taking care of business. And it's like, wow, man. And just the pain, the gnawing of it, that it, where there's rarely time where, they're pain free. And it's like, wow. And it just, it's made me so aware, like, you know, of, we see so many people, you know, in fights and shootings and TV and stuff like that, you know, and it's like, I'm like, it really drives home the point. I mean, these are just some words I keep turning around. I always hear about people with worse problems than me. And it's like, wow, life is fragile. Handle with prayer. We can't be love one another. Be careful. You know, it's like, amen. The pain just really, just drove, you know, thinking about this, and it's like, oh Lord, why do we want to nuclear weapons? People talk about nuclear weapons, like, that's like, wait a minute, I have boo-boos on my legs and I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to think about what a 50 cal slug has to someone. I don't want to think about nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
But I was like, I have boo-boos.
Depleted uranium and fun things like that. Yeah.
It's like, oh God, you know, it's like, and, you know, be gentle, care about each other, love one another. By this show, they know that you're my disciples. If you have love one for another, it's like, yes, love one another. Be careful, you know, lift each other up. And it's like, wow, it's amazing what that chronic pain can do to your thought life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Thanks for sharing.
Just thinking of someone in continual pain, it's like, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want to feel pain. I don't want my enemies to feel pain. I wouldn't wish this on my enemies.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, now you're talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, but I probably ought to go, because any minute the doorbell's going to ring and it's going to be time for some lidocaine and petroleum gauze and good stuff like that.
Well, thanks for sharing that. That's, you know, I think that fits right in, and it's very apropos.
Why, thank you, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless, and you have a great day and remainder of the week.
You as well. Thanks, Glenn. Much appreciated, as always. And for those listening, and I know there are some who pay attention to those things, I just lift Glenn up in prayer for healing and those kinds of things that correspond to his surgical procedure and such. I wouldn't presume to preempt the opportunity, so to speak, in, you know, I guess in 2 Corinthians 12 sort of fashion, that whatever is going on there, whatever, you know, God may or may not be doing, I wouldn't want to interfere. If it is that kind of thing, you know, I wouldn't want to interfere, but I would lift Glenn up in prayer for healing. And so anyway, I think that fits in perfectly. And, you know, those kinds of moments, I think, bring us back to earth. And even the demagogues, you know, are usually just shadows on Plato's cave. And I've talked about that before. Again, I mean, it's just John 10:10. The thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy. But that's a singular character who then employs legions of folks to carry out that plan. And those people are the kind of spellbound folks that Bonhoeffer and others have talked about. But then in contrast to that, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So I think we should be praying for one another and loving one another. You know, again, to me, it all sort of comes down to Romans 5:8. Is it? God demonstrates his love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we're enemies to the cross. And so, again, you know, if the love of God cannot be demonstrated through us in the most difficult moments and trying of circumstances, how and when then can and will it be demonstrated? You know, if we can't be put upon, if this can never happen, that's, you know, I mean, that's the MO. That's how it works. Anyway, back to the phones. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Pat. Oh,
I wish we could have a round table, all the different people that call, so you could say, yeah. Oh, that's all about that. Anyway, I wanted to apologize to you because I was digging out a hole where stuff falls in. You didn't know it was there, and I found a piece of paper from last August, and you said almost the same thing you've been saying lately.
Uh-huh.
So I said, you don't believe in communism. You were talking again. You were doing real good, Chris. So, one thing about RBN, they toggle, make you, like I'm 79, they make you, it toggles your memory to say, oh, I don't know about that. What was that? You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll do any good. That's what I go back and forth saying. I don't know if this is going to be good because didn't Paul say, I choose to know nothing but Jesus Christ crucified? And if mm-hmm. I would just do that and not call RBN, not, you know, try to talk other people into taking hydrochloroquine, go down the liquor store, you know, the place is the only one that's open during the pandemic and closed the churches, but you can walk in there and get some tonic water and make yourself some take that. You know, for mm-hmm. and help get over it. None of that. They never listened to any of that. They walked by the liquor store three times a day, and they never did it. Well, grandkids got COVID. I said, oh, God.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, when I call RBN, that's what happens. Nobody listens, you know, but I'm glad you did have that book by Gary Kaa, En Route mm-hmm. to Global Occupation.
Mm-hmm.
And, because I never have any of the books you talk about. It doesn't seem like it. I write them down, but then I go back to, oh, it's too late. I'm just going to forget everything and go start handing out tracts on the street like we used to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, yeah. You know, this, you know, speaking of communism, I mean, this really sort of gets to the heart of the issue as far as I'm concerned, where... I mean, I always ask the question, you know, what is what we see in Acts chapter 2 communism? If it's not, then what is the distinguishing factor? And to me, it's simple, you know, the question.
You go ahead and you repeat the scriptures, like Tom from Utah. He doesn't always say it, you know. By the time people get around to looking it up, they've forgot about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's Acts chapter 2? All I can think of is speaking in tongues.
It's the Pentecostal moment, but, you know, the operative concept is that everyone, well, I'll just go there real fast. So, you know, it's the Pentecostal moment, and everyone's amazed. And you have, you know,
well,
Peter taking a stand with the 11 raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And,
we'll say the other two pieces. Old men will,
mm-hmm. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Right. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit. And so the point is, you know, from verse 3, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. Not to get fixated on that, but, you know, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Anyway, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and everyone is... You skip forward to, let's see, verse 41. So then, those who had received it. Well, let me back up a little bit. The results of Pentecost, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's all sort of, it all centers around that, the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. But this is the point. Verse 42 says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. And so, you know, that sounds, to the unobserving eye, it sounds similar to, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. And so what's the distinction between this in Acts chapter 2 and communism? The question, and the answer is, who decides? And at the, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, the pinnacle of what is going on here in Acts chapter 2 is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is essentially deciding, you know, the Holy Spirit is convicting the hearts of those folks who feel a sense of, you know, who feel compelled to sell their property and possessions, share that with others. It's not some man. And so that's the point of these kinds of conversations. Ultimately, in Ephesians 6:12 sort of fashion, you find that, you know, the difference between Acts chapter 2, the Pentecost, and communism is ultimately who decides. And with the Pentecost, it was the Holy Spirit. And, you know, in communism, it's a man, but it's not just a man. It's a man who is typically beguiled and manipulated through some form or, you know, in some way or another, by the character who, you know, the central, whatever you want to call him, the central villain of the Bible. And it's not actually men. It's that character, you know, manipulating men to do exactly what Jesus spoke of in John 10:10. The thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So that's what it comes down to. What's the difference? You know, who decides?
Communism will claim that you're going to have more abundant life. But that's where, Obama got into, what they call that, when he went black, what the Catholic Church did to South America and all. They told him, you shouldn't have anything, you should give it all away.
And that's why you can tell who it is that's deciding. You know, with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, it's these people trying to bless others. Liberation. And with communism,
Liberation theology. You'll be liberated when you give it all away. And don't look out for yourself. Just the government will do that for you. Is that what I'm saying? They call Obama the Black Liberation Theologist.
Well, yeah, that's sort of akin to what I'm saying. You know, who decides? And so, but it's always when man gives that call, the counterfeit call, it's a selfish appeal instead of selfless, like you see in Acts chapter 2. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. All right. So the point here, the operative concept, is the Holy Spirit is the only one qualified and capable of issuing the marching orders to. There's a peculiar concept in the Bible of the body of Christ, and Only the Holy Spirit can issue marching orders to hands, feet, eyes, ears, etc. In the battle that is being waged.
How do you hear those marching orders? Just take everything that happens to you as what God wanted?
Well, hopefully you can hear the still small voice. But it's getting increasingly difficult to do so with all of the noise around us and, you know, tinnitus from 5G and vaccine injury and so forth.
I got into an argument with a Kenneth Copelandite down in town, Fort Worth. He has an annual meeting there, you know. And she acted like everything that happened to us was what God wanted. And I said, I don't think that. I mean, I often wonder if the word human came from Hume's philosophy and that God just created the world and started spinning and went on a long vacation, which is opposite of truth, you know, but maybe people say, no, it was some other Greek word or something, human.
Well,
but human's
and
not.
Then there's the speculation that, you know, hue is color of, so color of man, hue, man. You know, and then there's the Black's Law. Apparently, I think first edition Black's Law talks about how, you know, human is a monster, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, there's definitely controversy in the etymology of that word.
Okay. Well, you know the etymology. I can say that. But one thing, one scripture that I've been thinking about lately was having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of 2 Timothy 3. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's... there is what, you know, you need, I feel like we need to go back to where we used to be. I said, you know, it's everything that I know is on the internet. I guess I haven't checked in the last 6 months, but you can go on there and you can find deliverance pastors and look at them when we only had little audio tapes to listen to them. And tell you how to throw out demons and blah, blah, blah. And it's easy to listen to when you're working, you know, it's just simple. But the other, I mean, working around the house or something, not at work on a job. But, and also, too, I said, you know, whatever happened to Benny Hinn? Oh, well, you know, they told some lies about him or something in Africa or some kind of crap. And so there he was. I didn't say it out loud. And there he was on YouTube. And I said, oh, I'd rather hear something good. I want to hear some good music. Well, he did have good music. And then he started telling people everything that was wrong with him, and then God was healing them from all over the building, you know. So they what they've done is they want to do away with Christianity. That's the number one goal of the whole Luciferian thing going on right now. The old people most likely knew more. Get rid of them and whatever. So that's
I would
what I
say,
think.
Yeah, that it the way that that is being accomplished is a sort of combination of, you know, if you read the again the prologue of the Union Jack, which was published anonymously under the nom de plume Helen Peters, but I think it was 1971. The prologue talks about how counterfeit Christianity is the vehicle that the it and it's actually what the author referred to as Marxian communism is the vehicle, primary vehicle, and it's to be accomplished through America. That in combination with Pike's outline of the Third World War, I think, is, you know, the consequences of this, or the reactionary movement. I think that's how that's to be accomplished. We have other calls. Pat, I appreciate your call. We're going to continue on. We'll go back to the phones when we come back. Thanks, Pat. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. You, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back. A couple of things before we go back to the phone. So speaking of the word human, it is an interesting, I don't know, sort of anecdotal study, in my opinion. I mean, a lot's been said about it. We've talked about it on this broadcast over the years, years and years, and I won't get into that. But it is fascinating, you know. The word human occurs exactly zero times in the King James Version of the Bible, which is interesting. And, you know, when you look at the definitions, there appears to be an attempt to sort of obfuscate the etymology a little bit. And in my humble estimation, it seems that it correlates to, you know, kind of the concept of a homunculus, an unenlightened mass without a soul kind of thing, or a slave, those kinds of concepts. And I think that's why you have the corresponding concepts of, you know, human rights, human resources, et cetera, those kinds of things that are generally not attributed to man, so to speak, if that makes sense. There seems to be a distinction there, even if it's through sleight of hand. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. It's just interesting, and I'm not saying that this is, you know, something to stick on. I think it's just a provocative observation. And then, speaking of the two things that I mentioned, the Union Jack prologue and Pike's letter to Mazzini, I'll just read what I was talking about and then we'll move on. So from the Union Jack prologue, this was the operative passage I was thinking of. Seeing that Christianity could not be consumed by so many and great persecutions, but from them instead the impetus to fill the whole earth. The workers of wrath have attacked the conscience of the world by fabricating a counterfeit Christianity. More deceptively, however, they've added the dimension of feigned persecution to their stratagem of fundamental Christianity, quote unquote, which is actually the counterfeit. And this feigned persecution is why I always ask, people say, you know, Christians are being persecuted here and there. And I always ask, do you know them? Do you know any of them personally? Or even, you know, do you know them firsthand, secondhand? The answer is almost always no. So they have added the dimension of feigned persecution to their stratagem of fundamental Christianity, the reaction to which is to deceive humanity into a world social state. That is not to say that there isn't persecution going on. It's just most of what we see depicted in the media, for example, seems to correspond to this agenda. So they've added feigned persecution to their stratagem of fundamental Christianity, which is actually the counterfeit. The reaction to which is to deceive humanity into a world social state in the name of Jesus Christ. Americans will be surprised to learn that America is being used as the major incubator of this neo-Orthodox Christianity, which is not antagonistic to Marxian communism at all, but is indeed the spirit of it. It is the spiritual communism in the guise of Christianity that is to emerge as the crowning achievement of world revolution. And so, you know, some people are noticing as a brief aside, let's see if we can find that real quick. Somebody I know recently posted on social media the contrasting, which sort of fits this depiction, you know, the prologue of the Union Jack. Modern Jesus versus biblical Jesus. Modern Jesus preaches only love. Biblical Jesus preaches God's righteousness. Modern Jesus gives you health and wealth. Biblical Jesus gives salvation, hope, peace, and joy. Modern Jesus never says anything negative. You can live your best life now. Biblical Jesus warns of sin, judgment, and hell. Modern Jesus loved and accepted by the whole world. Loved and accepted by the world. Biblical Jesus hated and despised by the world. Jesus even said that, you know. Modern Jesus serves your will, not God's will. Biblical Jesus exalts God, the Father's will. And modern Jesus hates to offend you or others, but biblical Jesus offends the world with the truth. So it's kind of an interesting juxtaposition, just as a final point on that. So then the Pike's letter to Mazzini, August 15, 1871, outlining three world wars. The third, this little bit is kind of what I was thinking of. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism and origin of savagery and the most bloody turmoil. This corresponds to that last bit of the prologue in the Union Jack. It is this spiritual communism, the guise of Christianity, that is to emerge as the crowning achievement of world revolution. Remember, Nesta Webster wrote the book World Revolution, and there was this concept people talked about 100, 120, 130 years ago about the World Revolutionary Movement, WRM, that sort of corresponds to this. So even though we don't talk about that anymore, it was something people talked about. And that's this, you know, origin of savagery, most bloody turmoil, unleashing the nihilist atheist. Then everywhere, Pike wrote, the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity. But again, it's not Christianity, that's it's this counterfeit that is spoken of in the Union Jack. Continuing, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. That's the satanic vision, and how what Pat mentioned is to be accomplished, as I understand it. So anyway, there's that, as they say. Back to the phones. Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Morning. I sent you two articles.
Okay.
But I know you're short on time. You have other callers. So one I wanted to talk about, though, back when Obama was president, he did the Affordable Care Act, right? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I don't need to know what it is. I'm never going to have it. So I never looked at it. And I sent you, it's called America's Health Plan, AHIP. Did you see it?
You were breaking up there. Oh, yeah. It's didn't catch what you said there at the end.
It reads like a vaccine manual. Like paid for.
I didn't see that yet.
Health plan's commitment to vaccinating all populations. Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, health plan's commitment to who? To vaccinate all populations. I'm like,
exactly.
Who did they commit that to? You know, because there are people that are of the mindset that they're not going to get it, like myself. Okay, mm-hmm. And then that was on page 4, and then on page 13, AHIP and health plan activities to encourage vaccines. So, yeah, I'm just like, wow, that was in 2013. But I didn't read it because I wasn't interested in any health care coverage, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the other thing is I recently went back to the gym, and I'll leave you with this, working out.
Okay.
A little concerned about, you know, what you hear out there. Can you get spike protein if you're another company, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so saw some people we had seen before a couple years ago. We're talking to them, you know, about vaccines and asking them, or telling them, you know, you didn't get it, did you? And they all have. And you just... someone with a health perspective, just do it. I don't know, but you know, if they're really, one guy said, well, he didn't want to be excluded from the holiday activities, so because his whole family was getting it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this AHIP thing I sent you probably has some more golden nuggets in it, if you know what I'm saying. Some more interesting things. I thought I was watching a video and somebody brought that to my attention, and I was like, oh, very interesting. So it just shows you that they had this plan for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I was saying what I was saying in 2006 about the influenza, the pandemic influenza response plans that rolled out in all of the states. How curious it was that every state got them, and that if you were watching the corresponding propaganda in the following years, 2007 and 8 in particular, they ran some really awful kind of Hollywood style propaganda in places like Idaho, for example, where they had these blood spattered billboards that, you know, basically were fear mongering, and it was just astonishing. And, you know, I asked the question about why this was necessary and why it's okay for one person to make decisions for everyone in the state, and it was dismissed. But then, you know, we fast forward to today, and Jenna calls in about the same thing going on in Washington and these administrative rules being used that were created under some kind of specious guise, you know, that was other than what they're being used for now. And that's always the way this seems to happen. And we were warned by guys like James Madison that that's exactly what happens. You know, that's what the emergency nonsense is always used to do.
Mm-hmm. I think they took the care out of healthcare.
Yeah.
Here on page eight, it says, as people begin purchasing insurance through state and federal exchanges, performance measures will be even more important for plans to be able to compete for business. They took the care out of healthcare. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. I found it interesting because they'd planned it a long time ago. Like you always say, they always do. But
yeah,
Here's a document from the, I think you can find it on the Nash NIH website or something. Mm-hmm. It's official. Let's just put it that way.
And
it's
CBI,
not like,
probably. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a video I found or anything. That's official. So, because you're always saying things like, you know, you got to be careful what you look at because, you know, it could be false. So that one looks like it's official. So, Anyway, planned for a long time. All right, thanks, Chris.
Very interesting. Thanks, Rhonda. Much appreciated.
All right, bye. Oh, bye.
Bye. Yeah. It is a curious thing. And so, you know, again, I mean, there are certain outlets that roll, that tell us things. We should expect an 11 on the Richter scale, and when it's only a 3 or a 4, it's dismissed. And so, you know, I mean, a 3 and 2 4s equals an 11. And if you're, you know, I understand that with the Richter scale, that doesn't apply exactly. But point is, you know, if you're a Fabian socialist and gradualism is the operative concept, then that works very well. You know, telling people, beware of the 11, and it's always a 3 or a 4 or a 3 or 4. And effectively, you know, a few of those episodes accomplishes the same thing, even though you've anesthetized people to what's going on because they're expecting something bigger. And in similar fashion, this kind of thing, you know, stuff rolls out. I need to find the quote. The guy who said, who was it that said, oh gosh, it was about 100 years ago, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to tell them that we're not doing these bad things while we actually do these bad things, while we say we're not doing them. I mean, folks, there have been people who have admitted these things. It's pretty astonishing. Anyway, back to the phones. Guess we lost. Well, let's see. Tom in Maryland, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good afternoon. It is interesting. You're talking about warnings. It does seem to me, after being on this planet for over half a century, that it might be a universal requirement by the Lord that our enemies telegraph what they're going to do, because, like you pointed out earlier, when you read maybe package inserts from prescription medications or political plans that have been in the works for many years, they really do lay out exactly what they're going to do, which brings to mind the words from the Bible about my people perishing for a lack of knowledge, really motivates me, at least, to be on the lookout for those things and really dig deep into what's out there, because it seems like if you look, you will find it.
Yeah, the lack of knowledge seems to date back at least to Genesis chapter 3, you know? Did God really say? There seems to be deception in view there with a particular motive in mind.
Absolutely. By the way, my prayer's out to Glenn. I hope that Christ brings to fruition his plan for Glenn's life, whatever that might mm-hmm. be. And I mm-hmm. agree with you. I do believe that prayer works, even if it's from a stranger like myself to Glenn over the radio.
Yeah.
I think our fellowship within the Lord allows that prayer to work in people's lives. So I wish Glenn all the best. I did want to talk about prescription medications. You were talking about those earlier. I'm glad you brought that up. I've dealt with depression my entire life, basically. It's only recently that kind of dawned on me and some family members that it was around the time that I had a severe reaction to the swine flu vaccine when I was a teenager, maybe preteen, that this problem with depression arose. So I don't trust vaccines as far as I can throw them. Throw a case of them, I do believe that there is a place for some prescription medications. I found, interestingly enough, and maybe tomorrow some audience members will call in to give their views on this, but it seems like the only prescription medications that actually work or have worked for me have a basis either directly being derived from certain plant materials or mimicking certain mm-hmm. natural things. For example, for blood pressure, a whole lot of different medications out there for that, but the only one that seems to work well for me is minoxidil, which is derived from violets and is a vasodilator. It's something you can apparently have happen if you eat a lot of beets. As far as opioids, they're derived from poppies. I can empathize with Glenn. I've dealt with chronic pain for years. An opioid medication was the only thing that worked for me. Was reluctant to get on it initially. The doctor said, look, what you hear about addiction for a person your age, nothing that you should be concerned about. And in fact, he was right. It worked fantastic. Didn't have to go up in the dose, didn't get addicted to it, didn't even develop a tolerance to it, stayed on the same dose for many years, and then, of course, it was yanked away. It's quite frustrating when you have medication that actually works, and they take it away, and then you turn on the TV, and all you see are commercials for medication to allow people to engage in sodomy and not catch an infection. Talk about a backwards world.
Yeah. Indeed.
Still there?
Yep. Yep, that's...
But at any rate, I was wondering if you could opine on whether or not you feel that there's a place for some prescription medications, what your thoughts might be on that.
You know, that's tricky. I would say, generally speaking, I don't think there is. I know that people have different views on that. You expressed a view that's not exactly in keeping with my own. I think the industry, you know, I think it corresponds to Revelation 18 and that whole concept of the world being led astray by this industry, as depicted in Revelation chapter 18. And you know, when you look at the companies, and I've talked about some of those in the past, just these dynastic patriarchal families from hundreds of years ago that have been running things like drug trade and slave trade, and I don't really see, it's kind of like the discussion of technology or anything else, you know, allopathic medicine in general. And this is controversial, I realize, but when the forces that have brought these things to the level of status that they enjoy, when those forces are nefarious, I don't know. I wonder if anything good can come of that.
Oh, we're on the same page with that, by the way. Listen, I'm a retired cop, and I've always been an anti-prohibitionist, much to the chagrin of many of my colleagues. I've never believed in the drug war. I think a free country and a free people should be free to use what they want. I always said that if the government tells you what you can't put in your body, it's just a matter of time before they tell you what you must put in your body. And I think I've been proven right in these recent years. But speaking of that, get rid of the pharmaceutical companies. Allow me to grow poppies, and I can get my medication from that. and, you know, if there wasn't a drug war, you could get rid of the pharmaceutical companies and provide yourself with the medication you need from God's green earth.
Yeah. Yeah, which is different than the counterfeiting, the pharmaceutical counterfeiting of those things. And, you know, the pressure that's created by making something illegal, and then the attention that's drawn to it in schools, for example, through the programs like DARE, which some of the kids, you know, jokingly say, you know, the acronym DARE means drugs are really expensive. And then that draws their attention to those things. And once you pull some of the restrictions away, what does that do? It's kind of like the Jack in the Box thing. There's a reaction to that. And that's why I think, I mean, as a retired law enforcement person, maybe you've even seen this. It's interesting, the correlation of neighborhoods that get the DARE program and then seem to have an increase in adolescent drug use as, you know, those programs come online. It's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I've never agreed with the DARE program. I've always looked at it as and I've said this to other officers, it's basically daring the kids to use drugs. And of course, psychologically speaking, you tell a kid what they can't do, you really are daring them. And of course,
right,
they're going to do just the opposite of what you're intending.
Right.
But I hope to see a day when we actually do live in a free country and not a country that sells freedom and propagates a lie, because we're not really free at this point in time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been a while since we have been free. I think the last time we were free was probably somewhere around Mark Twain's day. I don't know. That's which is probably why we're not supposed to be reading Mark Twain. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I digress. James, sorry we missed you. Again, we'll have to make sure that doesn't happen again in the near future. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.